That is an awesome song. I can just imagine hundreds of thousands upon millions of people all gathered around a throne, and as far as you can see, Lord, you're mighty. Oh, praise God, praise God. I'm having a great time tonight. How many of you are just, man, I know it's been a rough week, a long weekend, but man, I can just feel the power of the Holy Ghost here tonight. Praise God. We had a great service this morning. You can go ahead and be seated. We had an awesome service this morning. And we started a message, and we're in a series right now, When Your Unthinkable Becomes Unstoppable. And I'm excited about this. It's a series that's on faith. And it's on potential. And last Sunday night, for those of you that were here last Sunday night in our CIP class, we started this series on faith and as well as our potential in God. And that's why we've titled this series, When You're Unthinkable. By using your faith, we can think unthinkable things through the power of the Holy Ghost. And with our unthinkable thinking, we can become unstoppable in God. And this morning, our primary focus was on our potential. And as tonight, I had mentioned this morning that we were going to start off this evening with a more of a character a type of a sermon about an individual in the Bible, in the Old Testament, but I got sidetracked this morning, and I got talking about food, and I went on and on and on, and sometimes what happens is my mind begins to wander. Now, this is not fair. You started this, Sister Thompson. Look at where your apple pie ended up. Wow. Now, this is going to be a distraction for you folks? It's going to be an incentive for me. Let's all stand in closing. When you're unthinkable becomes unstoppable. And I got sidetracked by food, and hopefully we can complete this after our back to school bash in a week or so, and we have a Wednesday night, and then we may go into the following Sunday a.m. and p.m. But just kind of bringing our last Sunday night crowd and some of our Sunday morning folks that weren't here this morning, to just kind of wrap up and kind of bring a few things together here this morning. What is potential? When you talk about potential, what is potential? And potential is really, it is dormant ability. It's ability that you and I have, God-given ability. I believe that all of our talents and all of our abilities come from God. He's the one that created us, and he gave us various talents, gave us various abilities. So potential is really ability that is within us, but it is dormant. It's potential that has not been discovered and or has been discovered but has not been used. So the ability, potential is dormant ability, but ability is completely useless unless it is given some type of a responsibility. And I mentioned this morning, when God created Adam, he planted him with the potential to subdue, the potential to rule over and care for the earth and everything that was in the earth. It was his plan. It was God's plan. He gave the responsibility to Adam to name every animal, every plant, everything that was in the garden. So we can look back and we understand why a banana is a banana and a pineapple is a pineapple and an elephant doesn't look like a kangaroo, because Adam named them with the potential and the ability that was within him that God gave him at creation. We have a creative God. And I thank God that He is creative. Every one of us is different. No one in here is the same as the person next to you. They say opposites attract, and I thank God that opposites attract, because that means that two polar opposites, two sides of a spectrum, can come together and be attracted to one another. Potential is determined by purpose. Adam had inside of him all the potential that was necessary to fulfill his assignment. I want you to understand one thing tonight. Whether you've just been here, this is your first service, whether you've been here for 3 years, 5 years, or you've been here all of your life, that potential is necessary to fulfill the calling or the assignment that God has placed within you or given you. So that means that whatever God calls you or appoints you or assigns you or whatever responsibility that He gives to you, He will give you, or He has already given you the potential and the ability to complete that. So how many times do we say, God, I would love to do that, but I don't have the ability. God, I would love to do that, but I don't have the potential. And God is saying, listen, I gave it to you already. You just got to use it. And responsibility always comes with work. There's always, if you want, my dad used to tell us as we were kids, as we grew up, if you want to drive that car, there's responsibilities that goes with that car. The gas has to go in the tank. You see, we love to use the car Monday morning because it had gas in it from when Dad would fill up on Sunday. But you see, Dad figured out really fast that in order for him to not pay out continually to his teenage sons driving the car just around the block endlessly, so we could just drive around the block. And we lived out in the country, and it was about a 12-mile trip, and our block went past East Town Mall. That's how big our block was. It went all the way past the church, all the way down Fellon Road, Lean Road, and it went past the mall. So when we say we want to drive around the block, that was our secret way of saying we're going to go to the mall via the block. And Dad figured out real fast, I can't afford these driving habits. So if you want the responsibility, if you want the right to drive, there's a responsibility that comes with that. And we found out that it wasn't worth working 40 hours a week at Burger King, making $1.65 an hour, so we could just drive around the block. You learn that real fast. But you see, Adam was placed in the garden. When he was placed in the garden, God gave him at creation. When God breathed into him, when God formed him, God gave him all the ability and all the future potential that he would need to do everything that God was going to ask him to do. You see, when the first thing, when you look at Adam and Eve, a lot of times we look and we say the first thing that God gave to Adam was a wife. But that's not true. The first thing that God gave to Adam was a work list. That doesn't sit so well today with a lot of folks, because they don't like to work. They don't want to work. But you see, the first thing that God said was, listen, I'm giving you this beautiful garden to live in, but you got to work to keep it up. You got to work. You got to trim it. Grapevines don't trim themselves. Banana trees, if you want those bananas out of that tree, you got to climb up there and you got to figure out how to get them things out of there. You see, he gave them a work list. And then the work must have become a little bit overbearing for Adam. So God says, you know what? I'm going to give him a foreman. So he you caught that, didn't you? Honey, I love you. Valentine's Day is a long way away, but I got a pie up here for you, honey. So God gave him a helpmate. But you see, he made demands on the potential of Adam's mind by commanding him to do various chores there in the garden. So work is a major key to releasing the potential that is within you. You see, claiming a promise doesn't make it happen. Just because you claim something doesn't mean that it's going to happen. You see, when the Israelites were promised the promised land, they were promised the land of Israel, and they had to go in and they had to conquer that land. They had to subdue the enemy that was in that land that was living there. So there was work involved, and good ideas don't bring success, but good hard work does. And to release your true potential, we have to be willing to work. And our theme scripture for this series is from the book of Ephesians. That's Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. And this verse is a powerful verse that describes our unlimited potential in Jesus Christ. And we're going to read this tonight. How many of you are in Ephesians 3, 20? It's up there on the board. Now, unto him who is able to do exceedingly. Now, I could repeat this verse every day of my life for the rest of my life, and it doesn't bore me. Okay, some of you may say, well, you know, we hear this, Pastor, you keep talking about this. I'm going to keep talking about this because this is a key principle. Remember, I've talked about principles that are in the Word of God. They're just all over the place. This is a key principle. For now unto him who is able to do exceedingly, that is God speaking to us, who's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think according to the power that worketh within us. That's where our faith comes in. To every man has been given a measure of faith. This series is talking about faith and potential. It's when your unthinkable becomes unstoppable. It's when what you cannot think about in your mind whatsoever we ask, he's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think. That means we have to get into the unthinkable realm of faith. And we get into that unthinkable realm of faith, then we become unstoppable. There's nothing that can stop us. When Jesus Christ was here on the earth, he lived in the unthinkable realm of faith. And there was nothing here that could stop him. And he desires for us. We're his children. He's passed this on to us. And he desires that you and I live in that same realm. So we're entering on a journey that I believe that if we take these principles and begin to live them in our lives. Remember, it takes work. And we have to live this. We just can't talk about this. We just can't say, Pastor, that was a great message. I'm going to really put that to heart. You know what? When I tell that to people, I'm going to be honest with you. If you come and you give me a really good idea and I say, well, I'm going to take that to heart, that usually means I'm just going to kind of put it in my mind and it's probably going to kind of stay there. You ever done that before? Has anybody ever tell you that, give you a good idea? Am I the only oddball here that you guys don't want to raise your hand because somebody just told you a good idea? You see, the unthinkable can become the unstoppable. So God, tonight, God is giving us the opportunity to expand our godly thoughts and to grow our godly thoughts. Proverbs 23:7 says, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. And because as he is, God desires for us to become what he wants us to be. So we look at where we are now. We look at where God wants to take us to. We want to see all of these. I expect all of these great things. But when I prayed about this, God was like, you know what? There's a process. If you want to get to here, or if you want to get to here and you want to experience this, then there's some things that you have to go through. When we were at camp this year, at family camp, when I've mentioned this, Brother Davis says, we don't need more power as Pentecostals. We need more faith. And I've been praying, God, release that within me. Whatever it is that's holding me back, I want you to release that in my life. I don't want to live a life of mundane, every day is the same, day after day after day. I want to experience everything that God has for me. And I desire, as your pastor, for you to experience that everything God has for you. See, we're all different. Brother Carl Grant's experiences are going to be much different than Brother Matt Moran's or Kim Stace's, or, you know, I could just go through the, I mean, God works with us different. He's given us all different talents and different abilities. So we ended up this morning with some questions that have you ever asked God? And I believe that God desires for us to grow our faith, expand our faith. But I want to begin this message off tonight. This pie is still here, and we're going to take and consume this in a short time. So I promise you, we're going to get through this tonight. Okay? I ended it with this way. It says, have you ever asked God this question? What do you want to do in my life? Have you ever asked God that? God, what do you want to do in my life? God, what do you want to do through my life? You see, this is where when what God does in your life, it begins to affect what God does through your life, and when what God does through your life affects other people. You see, this is where we need to get into. And God, what do you still desire for me to experience? I talked about this in past, that the Holy Ghost experience that we have is just the beginning of our experience. God didn't just give that to you just so you can speak in tongues and say, oh, you got the Holy Ghost. There's a whole lot more to that. So you have to ask God, God, what do you still desire for me to experience? In the power of the Holy Ghost that you gave me, God, what more is there for me to experience? And what are the possibilities, God, that lie within me? When I look at myself, I see myself in all of my failures. I see myself, and we see ourselves that way. We look in the mirror sometimes and we say, what are we really even trying to do? And we have all of these, the way that we look at ourselves, but we don't look at ourselves the same way that God looks at us. You see, God looks at us from the beginning to the end. We can only see at that moment. That's all we can see. We know what happened yesterday because our memories will tell us what happened yesterday. We may think we know what's going to happen tomorrow, but we really aren't sure. So you say, God, what possibilities lie within me and what potential lies before me? And then, what could I become if? This is a huge question. If I just totally committed my life to God, what could I become? What could I become? I wonder sometimes what would happen if Reverend Billy Cole, that has since passed away, says, you know what, God, I don't have any desire to go in the missions field. How many literally hundreds of thousands of people would have never received the Holy Ghost? Old nations are still in revival because he looked at this and said, what could I become, God, if? What did you have in mind, God, when you created me? You ever wonder, you ever look at God and say, God, I think you made a mistake here? Listen, God doesn't make mistakes. I'm sorry, he just doesn't make a mistake, especially when it comes to your life and my life. And God, what do you desire for me? You see, when we look at these are questions that we may not be able to answer. But God has the answer to these questions. And for the vast majority of people, in the vast majority of situations and circumstances, he will only answer them if you ask them. Did you get that? All of these questions, if you don't ask God what potential lies before me, God, you're never going to know. You got to ask God. And every day, thousands of people, they're planning their futures, they're planning what job they want, they're planning where they want to travel, who they want to meet, what experiences they want to have. And my question to them is, have you asked God? God, what have you created me to do and be? Have you ever asked God that question? We're talking about releasing this potential that God, we need to ask God repeatedly and frequently. God, what did you create me to be? You see, what you are today, if you commit, and if you begin to live your life as God would have you to live it, what you are today will be different than what you are tomorrow, and what you are next month won't even be recognizable to what you were like last month if we commit ourselves to God. I look at myself right now. I can only use myself as an example because I've never lived anybody else's life. I look back 10 years of my life. I look back 5 years of my life, and sometimes I don't even recognize my life. Now, I know who I am. I can look in the mirror. I can tell who I am. I've got pictures of myself that reminds me of who I am. I know that, but there are so many things that change within an individual. And I want to be able to say, God, a year from now, change me to the point that I won't even recognize who I am inside because you have made such a radical change in my life. Change me, God. You see, we need to ask God repeatedly and frequently, what did you create me to do, and what did you create me to be, and what have you planned and purposed for me? You want to wonder why you're going nowhere in your life? It's because you're not doing anything that matters to God. You see, only what we do for God is going to last through eternity. Listen, when I die, I can't take anything with me. The only thing I can take to heaven with me is my relationship with you. Only we're people. We're going to be in heaven. Our boats, I'm sorry, but your boat won't be there. Nothing wrong with having a boat, but it's not going to be in heaven. The only thing that's going to be in heaven are people, at least from this life. So throughout the Word of God, we find principles in which to live by, but there are also principles that we have to die by. You see, it's just one thing, say, well, I live by this principle. Are you willing to die by that principle? You see, that's when you know it's a true principle and not some sort of a preference in your life. And those principles are vital for us to understand our potential. So I just want to go through a few principles tonight. Every person, principle number one, every person, everybody say every person. Say it loud like you mean it, like we're at a Packer game. Every person! It's fourth and one, there's 3 seconds on the clock. Every person! Yeah, I got some Bear fans in here anyway. Every person. Okay, we want to get into bad language or anything here, okay? Talking about Bear, I'm just kidding. Every person has potential. Everyone. No matter how much you have achieved already. You may say, well, you don't understand, Brother Roy. I'm 75 years old. I've achieved a lot. I don't care. According to the Word of God, you still have potential. I look at Moses. We could look at the first 40 years of his life and say, wow. We look at the second 40 years of his life and it's like, wow. Here's a man that's 80 years old leading 3 million people through the wilderness. He didn't let age hold him back because God says, listen, Moses, I got a job for you to do. I got some responsibility. I've got some work. And he took the potential and the ability that was within him and he submitted it to God. You see, there's still more for God. There's still more of God for you to be and to do no matter how old you are. So, Bishop, I know you look at yourself right now at 75 years old and you may think, you know what, things are kind of winding down. But God looks at Bishop and say, you know what, I got a whole lot more for you. Now, it may not be up here preaching. It may not be out on the streets witnessing and pounding the pavement with the outreach team, but God says, you know what, Bishop, all of your experiences, and I'm using something I know, all of your experiences, I gave you a mind and I gave you a hand, and I want you to write those down. And that potential, all the things that have been taught over the years, will be taught from generation to generation to generation, because God says, Bishop, I'm not done with you yet. You see, I wonder sometimes when Moses actually wrote the book of Genesis. Did he write it on the backside of the wilderness, or did he write it during the 40 years that they were wandering in the wilderness? But you see, even though you're old, doesn't mean that you're done when it comes to God. Every person has been created by God to bring God glory. Did you know that? That we were created to bring God glory? That's why you and I were created. But so oftentimes our lives don't reflect that. We were created by God to bring Him glory. And how do we accomplish that? By being the people that He made us to be as individuals and collectively as a church, and by fulfilling His purposes for us on this earth. That's how. No one can reach his potential or her potential without God's help or apart from our God-given talents and gifts. No person can reach their potential without factoring in the spiritual dimension that's associated with potential. You see, God not only created you with gifts and talents to do His work on the earth, but He also created you with desires. He created you with dreams. He gave you a disposition or an attitude to become a person in whom He enjoys to fellowship with and who He desires to have an intimate spiritual relationship with. Sometimes we think that our relationship on this earth is just with each other. But God says there's a whole nother level of relationship. And sad to say, Pastor Thomas, most of us never get that far. Most of us never get to the point to where that we reach our potential. We reach that dimension in which we have an intimate relationship with God. And I desire to get to the point to where I have an intimate relationship with the God who created me. I got all kinds of things I want to know about God. But in order to get to that point, we have to become intimate with Him. You see, God only knows the limits of your potential. I don't know what full potential that Roy Grant has. I don't know that. I couldn't tell you that. I have dreams, I have desires. But you see, only God knows our potential. So only God knows the limits of that potential. And you and I are finite. We do not have the ability to fathom all that God has purposed for us. No one can fully understand the depths of His love and help that He desires to give to you and I, or the blessings and the rewards that He has prepared for us. We can't understand that. We can't fathom that. You see, we may reach the pinnacle of profession, or we may be the best in the world at a particular sport. The Olympics are going on right now, and if you've watched any of the Olympics, I've seen a little here and a little there while we're out and about. But it just amazes me how that these people can tumble and spin and sling themselves up into the air 25 and 30 feet. It just amazes me. They've reached the pinnacle of their ability, their sport. But you see, unless we factor in God in our life and we seek to love and serve Him wholeheartedly, we will not reach our full potential. And He has maximized our outward abilities towards our inward attributes that He has given to us. You see, your potential includes, it's more than just potential. It includes attributes and abilities. And I bring these two words in because they're very important here. And there's a difference between abilities and attributes. You see, your attributes are your character traits. You see, that's the real you. When I look at Vicki Leonardson, I see Vicki Leonardson, but her attributes are, and we can name off various attributes of Vicki Leonardson. Now, we also have attitudes. We have attitudes, attributes, and abilities, AAA. You can remember that real easy. You see, the difference between abilities and attributes is your attributes are your character traits. They're the real you that exists regardless of the external circumstances that you may be dealing with. They are you that shows up no matter where you go or whom you associate with. And I'm so thankful for people in this congregation, and I don't want to embarrass anyone, but you know, every time I hang out with Glenn and Kitty Rossing, they're always Glenn and Kitty Rossing. And I appreciate that about them. I appreciate that about so many of you, Sister Eileen Manley, all of our elderly ladies that sit back there, and I appreciate so much that you are who you are no matter where you are. You see, the Bible gives us a good description of the character that God desires to see in each one of us when we look at Romans 8:29. For whom he did foreknow, being God, he also did predestine to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he may be the firstborn among many brethren, so that he might reflect Christ's nature and character to the world around us. The character is summarized in another one of Paul's writings as being marked. What are some of the characters that we look at as far as characters of God? We look at love, we look at joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. That's in Galatians 5:22-23. These are not attributes that we can produce on our own. You see, we don't produce this on our own. This comes from God. They develop in us so that when we say no to the flesh and yes to the Holy Ghost that lives within inside of us, we begin to develop these godly traits. You see, he generates in us an awareness and the ability and the courage to live out a new life marked by godliness. You cannot reach a full potential of your attributes without God. You can't do it. You can try to do it on your own. People may say, he's a nice guy, but you can't reach the fullest potential of what God has for you without him. You may think that by exercising and practicing or pursuing education and training and reading books and all of that stuff is going to help you get to the fullness of your God-given abilities. And truth, however, you cannot. You cannot. The Lord gives you the opportunities to develop your talents and your gifts, but they come from him. He orchestrates your life and he puts you into the company of the right teachers, the right encouragers, the right competitors for you Bible quizzers out there. To all who have a role in pushing you to achieve your fullest potential. But never forget that it is God who gives you. You see, the mental energy, I mean, sometimes I get so tired and worn out, but God gives you. It's amazing how God can give you energy and physical energy to pursue the development of all of the talents and gifts that God has given us. We just went to a Bible quizzing tournament. We went to the juniors and then to the seniors and such. You see, there's learning is great. The rules and understanding of concepts and such are essential. We need to understand the rules and principles and all of this that we have to live by. But in the end, Brother Zimmerman, you're going to know if a Bible quizzer has truly mastered that particular subject or that particular skill when that student is capable of performing well in a real world setting or in a real quizzing tournament. That's when you find out just how well and how good you have studied and worked is when you have to apply that in a real world setting, or as our Bible quizzers, in a tournament. You see, God wants us to live out the life he created and intends for us to live by. And the Christian life was never intended to be a matter of book knowledge or head knowledge. It was to be a heart knowledge and a way that we live our life knowledge. It was to be a lifestyle. You see, when the Bible says, "Be ye holy, for I am holy," that's not just something we can just quote because we're a Christian. Right now, when we look in the world and you can see all of these posts and such on all of these various news sources and such, and you'll have some Christian that'll pop up and claim to be a Christian and say something that's just like totally off the wall. I'm just going to say stupid, because that's what it is sometimes. And then everybody bashes Christians, you know, this and this. It's like, wait a minute. If you had the true attributes, if you had love and peace and long-suffering and gentleness and patience and self-control, you'd have never said something so foolish. So they're really not a Christian because they don't act like one. You see, we're Christ-like because we are like Christ. So learning is great. But the Bible tells us repeatedly to get knowledge and understanding, but then it challenges us as individuals to pursue wisdom. What is wisdom? Wisdom is the application of knowledge and understanding in real world situations that are according to God's commandments and principles. That's wisdom. Did you get that? You want me to repeat that? The Bible tells us repeatedly that we need to get knowledge and understanding. And what is that? It is with the application of knowledge and understanding in real world situations according to God's commandments and principles. That's what wisdom is. We must take the step beyond the mere application of things, what we know, and we have to begin to apply them in our lives. So what happens at that point? What happens at that point is that's what we call when we enter into service. This past weekend, we experienced that. You see, we didn't just practice love. We just didn't practice self-control for some of us. We didn't just practice all of these various attributes and characteristics, gifts of the Spirit or fruit of the Spirit, as we call it. We actually lived it out. We put it into service. We put it into service. Our abilities are only truly challenged when we manifest them in ways that genuinely help other people. So you see, you can have all of this potential. You can have all the talent. You can have all this ability. But until you are willing to help someone else, it's doing absolutely no good. It's doing no good. You see, you can be a carpenter. You can be a plumber. You can be an electrician. You can be any tradesman. You can be a cab driver. You can be a bus driver. You can be a computer programmer. I don't care what your vocation would be, but until you take the knowledge that you gain to learn how to do that job and take that knowledge and actually put work, which we started with tonight, into it, nothing is going to happen with your potential until it's put into service. Did we get that? Nothing. Nothing. You see, God placed within us attitudes that will drive us to develop the right attributes that will bring him glory. And throughout our entire lives, God works to bring you the fullness of your attitude. Thus, your attitude gives you birth to your God-given attributes. Then out of that will freely flow your abilities. I'm going to say amen anyway. Amen. But listen, we can't do it on our own strength. We can't do it by ourselves. We've got to have the power and the strength that comes from God. That is the reason I can say with boldness and self-assuredness that only God knows your potential and only God can help you to fulfill it. And you can't fulfill it until there's work that's applied, and that comes in a form of service. Why would God want to give you all the talent and abilities to sing and all the talent and abilities to play an instrument if you're not going to use it for His glory? That's why God... All right. So I want to finish tonight with these 10 simple tips on what I feel are just 10 simple ways that we can maximize ourselves in God. Number one, never speak or think negative about yourself. Did you know that that puts you in disagreement with God? God may not like what you do. He may not like what we say at times. But you see, He thinks a much more highly of us than sometimes we think of ourselves. And I found that people that are always speaking negative about themselves, and they're always thinking negative, that they're always in disagreement with God. Meditate on your God-given strengths and learn to encourage yourself. And the reason I say that is the scripture says that David encouraged himself in the Lord. And we need to learn how to encourage ourselves in God. Because much of the time, as likable as we think we are, nobody else will. All right? Number three, this is a really big one. Stop comparing yourself to everybody else. Stop comparing yourself to everybody else. God made you you. And that's why there's only one of you. That's why God didn't say, I'm going to make A's, B's, C's, and D's. And everybody's either going to be an A, a B, a C, or a D. See, that's what the world likes to compartmentalize everybody. Well, they're this personality, they're that personality, they're this way, they're that way. Put them into this group. And God says, no, everybody is different because I'm a creative God. And I created them all different. And He knows every one of us by name, knows how many hairs are on our head. So don't compare to yourself to anybody else. You are unique, one of a kind, and original, and don't settle for being a copy of somebody else. Be your own book. Focus on your potential, not your limitations. I'm amazed at how many times I've worked with people that the minute we went into a job, the first thing they would do is give you reasons why it couldn't be done. I don't know how many hundreds of thousands of houses that I've plumbed, but I've never walked out of them and told the homeowner, you're going to have to bury a bucket in the yard because I can't figure out how to get a toilet in your house. But some people are that way. It can't be done. Yes, it can. Stop looking at your limitations and start focusing on the potential that God has given you. Find what you like to do and do it well and strive to do it the very best that you can do. Stop just doing enough to just get it over with, to get along. Do your best. Do your best. And have the courage. This is so big. Have the courage to be different. Be a God pleaser. Not the person sitting next to you pleaser. You're here to please God, not to please people. Learn to handle criticism. Listen, if you're going to grow in God, you're going to have to learn how to handle critical comments and remarks. You got to grow some tough skin. It's just that simple. Learn to handle criticism. Instead of letting it frustrate you, instead of letting it discourage you, let it help develop you. And when you do that, you see, sometimes when people criticize, there's actually some truth to it. And we need to listen to that. Keep your shortcomings in perspective. Understand that until we're raptured or we die, we're still a work in progress. Never forget that. And determine your own worth. Determine your own worth instead of letting others tell you what it is. Because if you let other people continually tell you what you're worth, you will be shortchanged every time. And number 10, are we at number 10 yet? Focus daily. Focus daily. Focus every day on your greatest source of confidence. And that greatest source of confidence is the God who created you. He gave you life for a purpose. Our musicians can come and you can stand. And whatever that purpose is, I can't tell you what God's purpose for your life is. But whatever your purpose is, we need to possess the potential, or you possess the potential to fill whatever that purpose is. So we go from attitude to attribute to ability, and that equals our potential. And no matter how big of a dream that God gave you, no matter how big of a mission that God has given you, and I look at our church plants all over this county, and I look at Brother Dave, and I want to, Brother Dave, Sister Ellen, no matter how big of a dream that God gave you, God has given you the potential to reach the assignment that He has given you. No matter what God has called you to do in your life, He has given you the potential and the ability to complete it. We just have to stop making excuses for ourselves. You see, purpose gives birth to responsibility. And responsibility makes demands on potential. God has given each and every one of us a purpose tonight. And with that purpose gives birth to the responsibilities of the job that we have. And that responsibility will again make demands on the potential that God has given us. So I ask you tonight, are you living up to the potential that God has given to you? Now tonight with altar call, I could give a traditional altar call and say, if you need healing, come over here. And if you need struggles in your life, or if you need the Holy Ghost, if you need to be baptized. And I'm not taking anything away from salvation today. Okay? If you've never spoken in tongues, you've never been baptized, never repented of your sins, that's your starting point. That's where you really begin to know and understand the potential and the purpose that God has for your life. So I don't want to take away from that necessity or the importance of that. But if you're here tonight and you know that you're struggling in the area of potential, you just have a hard time sometimes. Listen, I struggled with this for years, folks. I knew that there was more in my life than what I was living. I knew there had to be more. And if there wasn't any more, I was tired of what I had. I said, God, there's got to be more. But you see, it didn't come until I submitted my life to Him and I began to work on myself. And it's hard sometimes. It's hard. It doesn't just happen instantly. It doesn't happen overnight. It's a process. It's a process. And we got to be willing to see ourselves and give God the time to get us through this process. So if you're struggling in this area tonight, I just want you to come down to the altar. Could you do that? It's not an embarrassing thing. I'm going to be down here myself because I still have a rough time sometimes feeling that I don't have the abilities that it requires to grow this church from 1,000 to 2,000 to 3,000 to 20,000. But I do understand if I begin to take these principles and apply them in my life, that with God's help, I will get there. I will get there. And if it's okay with some of you, if some of the other members of our congregation, if you want someone to pray with you, just lift your hand up. We've all been there. We're all there right now. We're all going through this. We're going through this together. Let's just begin to ask God.